This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo. Enjoy the show. Support The Payload on Patreon for exclusive content, access to game nights and giveaways, and more. Head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to find out how you can get involved. Join our Discord community, find new friends, review VODs, and discuss esports and strategy on our Payload Podcast Discord at discord.me/payloadpodcast.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 70 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from BlizzPro.com. Today is June 8th, 2017. From Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the wonderful podcasting crew. First, let's head on over to Mercy Mainville, California with Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
At least you got the state. I don't even think you normally say the state. I'm not sure. I think you just throw out a random name there.
I say the state, no joke, every single week. And you always make a point about it. So I don't understand.
I'm glad to be here, even if one of the co-hosts on the show can't figure out where I live. I'm still glad to be here and I'm still glad to do these weekly podcasts. So I'm excited to get into the notes this week.
Can't or won't. Either way, good to have you, Rosh. It feels like it's been a while, but good to have you back. Jimmy Bloxham from Camarillo, California. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Wow, we had a jam-packed weekend of Overwatch esports. And holy
Overwatch
smokes,
esports.
Overwatch esports. But yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a really good day. I'll say more later when I can, but things are going well.
Good, man.
I'll just say that.
It's only taken 70 weeks, but Jimmy has stopped talking about what we're going to talk about in the introductions. Heard it here.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. He can stay.
Teasing. It's called the art of the tease.
It's true. Anyways, well, hey, welcome to both of you. Welcome to myself. We've got a really fun show. There's a lot going on. It feels like a lot of monumental, like shaping moments in Overwatch are going on right now. We're starting to really get into like the really hard-courted deal with competitive mode. We're going to talk about that in a bit. We've obviously got Overwatch Contenders, the development league for Overwatch going on right now. And so that's also all happening. So there's just a lot of cool parts to be a part of. And we're doing our best as Overwatch documentarians. No, that's not a thing.
We're just gonna let that one.
We can make it be a thing.
We're Overwatch scholars here, documenting the history, the building blocks, the foundation of Overwatch. So it should be pretty fun. We've got a heck of a show for you. First, let's talk our
Rosh. Sorry, is your dog named Jeff? Because we're gonna wrestle with Jeff.
It's every time we start the show, like every time. I was just sitting here and I had to actually look at the stream to see if it was in the camera, and it is. So it's, I swear, it's every week as soon as we start the podcast, she has to hop up onto the bed and go crazy. I swear she hears my voice change, how I talk on the podcast, and she goes nuts.
She hears Jimmy's soothing voice and she's like, oh, it's time to do a show. Anyways. Yeah, basically. Maybe that's Hammond, and she's actually telling us that she's the new hero in Overwatch.
Exactly.
There we go.
A dog hero?
First. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're good.
Interesting. Well, let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Jimmy, let's go to you first. What have you been up to this week in-game and that good stuff?
Avoiding competitive still. I will probably do them this week though. Get my placement matches done. But I've been playing a lot of arcade. It's way less stressful and it's just fun. It's been really fun. Obviously we're gonna talk a little bit more about that later, but just the what's the mode that where everyone has like a huge amount of health? I forget what it's called. Mayhem.
Oh yeah, Mayhem.
That's been a lot of fun. Although it gets a little cheesy. Because there are Winstons who have figured out they can just shield forever, basically.
Well, and Reapers can just infinitely shift. Like you can just stall out of pay. Like playing it on defense, you just get the automatic advantage. But playing it on offense is just. I've actually stopped playing Mayhem because it's just gotten so just it endless. Gets cheesy, at the end, and it just drives me crazy. But it's pretty fun. I like it.
And doing 3v3s as well, that's been really fun, just because the whole strategy of figuring out a comp that works versus what doesn't work, and then, oh, you got to win with this comp. Well, we can't use that anymore, so we got to figure something else out. And
yeah,
I've been learning a bit of Zenyatta, trying to diversify my hero pool a bit. But,
so good right now?
Yeah, Zenyatta is really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Rosh, what about you? What are you doing?
We were talking about this a little bit before the show started, but Mercy's getting a lot of hate in competitive right now. And I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, but season five's ranked games have not been good games so far. And we're already at a week and a half into the season. And it feels like how the games were at the end of last season, where all the people who just say, forget it, the season's almost over. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to play Junkrat. I'm going to play Hanzo with a Widow. I just feel like it's a continuation of last season's last couple of weeks. And I just have not wanted to step into the ranked scene. So I've been playing a lot of quick play, and I forgot how nice it was to play quick play, one, with your friends, but two, in a non-stressful, just for fun type of way. I've been messing around in quick play, and I've had the most fun that I've had on this game for kind of a while, just taking a step back from the competitive scene and just being able to play and not caring if you win or lose or climbing points or anything like that. It's been a lot of fun, and because of the Mercy hate that's been circulating around, I picked up Ana and Zenyatta. So I actually have a Smurf account that's only Ana and only Zenyatta, and I'm having so much fun playing it. So that's what I've been up to.
Nice. I've been going into competitive real hard, and I've only cried 4 times.
How's that going for you?
I've been doing it all on stream, so it's at least been like people can see that I'm just not like, oh, it's your fault. But even today, there were 2 or 3 times where my team or somebody on their, oh my God, your dog.
Your dog jumped up on the bed.
Circus time.
Amazing. That was like a Winston jump. That was pretty amazing.
It's true. He's playing Mayhem. No cooldown on that jump.
Oh my God.
Audio listeners.
Yes, sorry.
But
check
we've been
unscripted. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Check out the VOD on youtube.com/blizzbro.
Yeah, it's anyways. It's still been a lot of fun. We talked about it before on my two accounts. They were placed 700 points apart. And I've almost got my lower account up to where the higher account is now. So that's been pretty fun. And so I'm still climbing. I climbed 350 points yesterday. So that was a pretty decent day. And so I don't know. I've been having fun. We're going to talk about it in a little bit, but like they definitely need to start penalizing levers and throwers. Just start throwing down the hammer. Earlier today, we just had a D.Va who, no joke, was literally just jumping off the map for the team. Just like, why? That's like, awful. Why would you ever, like, I get it. I get if you want to play a hero, nobody else wants you to play it, but you want to play it anyway. I can get that. Like, it's frustrating. I still want to, you know, give you the right hand of fellowship to the noggin. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it's a game. There's only one way to learn a hero in a competitive setting, and that's to play that hero in a competitive setting. And sometimes it's not always the most conducive thing. I get that. What I don't get and what I don't understand is when you just intentionally make the experience bad for everybody else. I don't get it. So I've been pretty frustrated by that this past week. But besides that, I think overall, it's just it's been okay. It's been okay. I've still been having fun. I've still been learning a lot.
As long as you're enjoying it, that's the important thing.
I do. I try not to take it too seriously. And in the end, realize that my rank isn't directly reflective of my skill at every given point, right? Sometimes there's just things that are out of your control. I think you got to be really careful about using that as a justification for your losses.
It's really easy to be like, it's not me, it's just my team. 100% of the matches that I've ever lost. Yeah. Because then you don't improve and you don't get better and you're just stuck at this elo, which you think that you shouldn't deserve to be at. And then that makes you not want to play the game and then you stop playing it and you're missing out on this great video game. So yeah.
But if you have someone on your team throwing, you can't control that, and getting mad never helps. It never resolves anything. I know I'm going to get an email about that one time this guy, after everyone was mean to him, decided to like cooperate. I don't care about your anecdotal story. So anyways, thanks for hanging out for episode 70. We've got a heck of a show. join us in our Discord, discord.me/payloadpodcast.
This week in Overwatch.
Before we get started, we do want to thank our friends of the show. Actually, our MVPs, Shadow, J.A., Corel, Liam O., Stuart J., Leon Z., Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you enjoy the Payload Podcast, want to support, get in on some really sweet access, or get in on some access for some really sweet perks. We've got a game night. We decided the days. Do you guys have that open in Discord? I forgot to put it down. But we've got a special, we have a patron game night coming up. What day was that?
I'm looking at it right now. June 18th at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
June 18th, 6 p.m. Pacific time. And that time is, or that day is Sunday. That's Sunday, June 18th. We're not doing a consistent night, so hopefully we can hit kind of random nights so that people can join. It's like, oh, Sunday night's my church night, I can't go. Well, it won't always be a Sunday night. So we'll do our best to announce it the first show of every month so that you know when that is and have some time to plan. If you're a patron, you get priority seating into the patron game nights, but any other open spots we have, any listener is welcome to come hop in and play, and we'll be streaming it. So you'll also be able to hang out and watch it. Make fun of Jimmy playing Winston, all that kind of stuff. So June 18th, 6 p.m. Pacific time. It'll probably be on, I don't know if we'll just all multi-stream it or whatever. It'll for sure be on twitch.tv/kicktripod. And if Rosh wants to stream it, or Jimmy, it'll be on theirs too. So, all right. There's number one out of the way. We got the Patreon out of the way. It's double XP weekend and it starts now. So, if you want to grind out those anniversary loot boxes, now is the time, because you're going to grind them out twice as fast as you would normally. How awesome is this, by the way, that they do a double XP weekend during an event?
I'm so happy that they've done that, because I think that they have done a double XP weekend.
That was going to be my question, was have they done one before?
I can't remember. Maybe it was a free Overwatch weekend that I'm confusing it with, but it's really cool of them to think, oh, you know, there are these amazing loot boxes that have something for every character and all of these icons in it. Let's throw a double XP weekend in there too. I know that me personally, I'm going to finish leveling my Smurf, but I'm also going to grind out a ton of quick play and just fun matches to really utilize this double XP weekend so that I could get more anniversary loot boxes, which you know it has to be a good idea if I'm grinding to open loot boxes. Like, you have to know that these are good loot boxes. So I'm super excited. I'm going to be playing a lot of Overwatch over the next few days.
Okay, playing devil's advocate really quickly. Yes, the loot boxes are nice and everything, but people have been using the like players' levels as kind of a gauge on how experienced they are in Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And this is going to skew it a little bit. Do you think that's
a
problem going forward or not really?
I usually
like look at hours played anyways, usually on a hero. But I have a brain. So, you know, not everyone has a brain. I do have a question. Do you guys think that there is any part of this, because they didn't announce this at the beginning of the anniversary event, which they very well could have. Do you think that this is somewhat in response to people feeling that there was a lackluster drop rate from the loot boxes and to hopefully kind of sate some of that?
So. The complaints that I, not personally me, but I brought them up on the show about all the emotes being epics. And so they were going to be pretty relatively rare compared to some of the other ones. So, yeah, I think it's a bit in response to that. They obviously don't directly say that in the announcement. They're just like, hey, double XP, have fun, guys.
Right. So, yeah. I think either way, it's fine. Have fun this weekend. Play with your friends. Play with your family. Earn some loot boxes. And get that loot, yo. So that's going on this weekend. That goes on till June 12th. I don't have the exact time, but
11:59 p.m. Pacific.
There you go. Good old Jimmy. Old reliable. So that's going on. And then also this is something we might spend some time on this. We'll try not to get too much into this like wham. But Overwatch currently has a ranking and placements problem and a lever problem. And it's got some issues with the competitive play going on. So first let's talk about the ranked and placements. So Kotaku sat down with Scott Mercer and where's the Overwatch Gibraltar sounder? It's on here somewhere.
Yeah, come on, man.
All right, I got it.
Arriving at
all right, there we go. Anyways, and it's something we've actually discussed this a while ago. I believe it was at the end of season one or right before competitive season one. I think it was at the end of season one with Kevin. And we were talking about placements and where you should place in respect to where you finished last season. And as far as I know, I've never met a single person that has finished higher than they finished last season, at least on an existing account. I've heard of people who have placed higher on a new account than their existing account, but not on that same account.
Yeah.
So almost always you're getting placed lower than what you finished. In some cases, I think the worst or the best I've seen was somebody in our Discord said they placed 30 points lower than what they finished.
Oh, yeah. That's the best I've heard.
Yeah. And I know most people.
I would be happy with that.
Most people have placed like 200 to 300 points below where they finished last season, which obviously it doesn't feel great. And In response to that, Scott Mercer said that it's so that it doesn't feel bad. And this is something that we talked about in the beginning. And I was actually one of the proponents of it. I said, I would rather place low and climb up quickly than place high and drop or place at the same spot and not move. And the chances of that third option, I'd be fine with the third option if the system was good enough. And honestly, I just think that the math is too complicated to get that every time. So
it's tough. Yeah,
I agree.
Cause just with levers alone, you're going to skew that during your placements. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've got going on. And people are placing, you know, 200, 300 points lower. I've seen someone, place 600 points lower. So, we're also in Discord. And so, It's a huge delta, and and they were like right back up to where they were after that. So they climbed up very quickly when they were
And that's one thing. A lot of people are complaining that they are placing lower, which it does make sense. If you spent 40 hours last season climbing from silver to gold, and you just hit gold at the end of last season, and then you do your placements like, yeah, I'm going to place into gold. This is the season that I'm going to put in another 30, 40 hours, and we're going to get up to platinum. That's the next ranking. Like, yeah, I feel good. And then you do your 10 placements, and you go 9-1 or 7-3 or anything like that, and then you place back in silver, which you just spent 40 hours the previous season climbing out of, that is going to feel bad. But I just think that people are missing the next part of Blizzard's logic in this happening, is they do place you a little lower, but the first 10 games that you play, you're getting an escalated amount of win or of points for wins, and you're not losing as many points as you normally would for losses. So yes, it's annoying to get those 10 placements out of the way and do really well and still place lower than where you ended last season, especially if you spent all that time climbing to a new rank. But look a little more into the future. Look at the next 10 games. You're going to win or lose these next 10 games, and you're going to get back up to the respective ELO that you were last season that you climbed to. So obviously, if you climb to that, yeah, if you climb to that, then theoretically, that's where you should be. You were able to get up there, so you should be able to get up there again. But it's going to be a lot easier than it was last season because you're getting an escalated amount of points. When I placed 3,600 or 3,500 last season, I got up to like 3,900 within like 10 games because of the escalated amount of points that you get. Do I agree with this system? No, not entirely. I just think that it's not as bad as people are making it out to be, and that they're not looking at the next 10 games. They're not looking at that next point of logic that Blizzard has by doing this. And then they're just crying about getting placed lower, or they're just negatively not crying. I understand why it feels bad. Man. Like I get why you are, but just look a little ahead. The next 10 games are supposed to get you back up to where you want. And Blizzard wants to do this because it's going to feel a lot better winning the next 10 games after you place and be like, heck yeah, man, I knew I was supposed to be in plat. I had so much fun playing these 10 games compared to maybe placing you too high and then you instantly being met at a wall where you're neither going forward nor backward. So I can understand it. I do think that there are different ways they could do this, but that's why I think they are doing this.
So I agree with what you're saying to a point. The one thing that I think is important, we play and discuss video games for some of us for our living, for others mm-hmm. of us, a good chunk of our living. And so 6 hours playing video games is a Tuesday afternoon for some of us. And so like that's how long it takes on average to play 20 games. It took me about three and a half hours to finish my 10 placement matches. And so assuming that you have the 10 placement matches and the 10 after, that's 6 to 8 hours of time you've invested just to get back to where you should be, which is, it doesn't feel great. It's we talk about this in Hearthstone all the time because it's even worse in Hearthstone. If you finish at the top end of the game, you get placed back highest, mm-hmm. I think rank bottom of rank 15 or top of rank 16. Yeah. And so it's awful. And if I get to rank 5 every month, I'm 5 stars behind them. So I'm literally playing against, the professional players for that first week. That's awful. That's scary, still kind of bad. Jimmy, you got any solutions on this? Are there any ideas that you have that can make it better?
Solutions for ranking systems are so difficult. So I really don't have any. It almost feels like maybe just a straight ranking system, like a straight rating system where you get X amount of points for winning and nothing for losing or something like that. Just would be simpler. But I know that the reason they have how complex the matchmaking system is and the rating system where it rates you against people on your SR and how well you did against the same hero or whatnot is to try to make it more accurate. But because it's not very transparent what it's doing, it makes it hard for players to, I guess, trust it in that regard. And that's where the problem lies.
And there's no
simple solution.
Yeah. Like Jimmy's saying, it's hard. And like John was saying earlier, the math is just so
intense behind everything, all of the calculations, trying to figure out every single hypothetical situation that you might be in to come up with a math equation to somehow make that relate to your true skill rating. And I think that it's a good idea, because if you're at Silver and you're there, there are going to be people that you are doing way better for, and you should get more points if you're helping carry a Silver team where the other five people aren't really doing anything and you're carrying the match. You should get more points. Yes. Up to a point, I think. And I think we've talked about this multiple times on the show, where we say, like, oh, they should find a benchmark. And underneath that benchmark, it's about true personal SR. And above that benchmark, it just goes to a simple point skill where you win, you get 50 points, you lose 40 points, or whatever that scale is. I think that they need to do that, because the higher you get, the more that you are going to solo carry happens less and less and less.
Right.
So I don't think that it should be affected that much by personal gains and how you personally affect the game and how many points you get. So I just feel like we keep coming back to that over and over again. And I still think that's one of the best ways is placements. Placements are for new players and players who might not have played for X amount of months. So for a season or two seasons, then yes, placements should matter. I don't like this whole thing where if you're playing every season, I don't think that placements should necessarily be a part of it. And when, and if they do keep the placements there and involved with you having to play the 10 games at the beginning, I think that it should go back to what we've talked about for multiple weeks, where maybe under 3,000, it's a personal gain or personal loss based on your performance. And after 3,000, it's a set amount. That way you know exactly what you're getting each time. Because calculating personal gains at 4K MMR is insane. Like, how do you calculate how much better you're doing than these professional players, these people who play for 12, 13 hours a day? So I think that's my best answer, solution, thing that they could probably strive towards.
Cool. I have a couple of solutions I want to run by you guys, and I want to see what you guys think. So,
no.
First, placements. Shut up, Jimmy. So, placements. I think placements for existing accounts, so accounts who have already played a minimum of 50 games in a competitive season, should have the option to skip placements and be placed at that where they ended at the end of the season, or where they ended minus 100%. Like, you just like, mm-hmm. let's just say like we remove, you know, they remove any doubt on that. And it's almost a little bit of a gamble. Like, you're like, cool, I'm at 3,100 right now. I can skip placements and just get placed at 3,000. Or I can do my placements again and potentially get rated higher or potentially get rated lower. You have to have enough games. So like I said, 50 games, but you could easily do the math on what the proper amount of games are. After you've played that amount, you just have the option at the beginning. You know, it's kind of like when you play the game of life and you can either go to college or skip and go straight to your career kind of thing. Yeah, it's like this the same thing. You can kind of skip college, go straight into there, but you're pretty confident that you kind of know where you're at and where you want to start.
What's funny about that idea is Blizzard actually does that already in StarCraft to a certain degree, where if you already placed the season before, you only have to play one placement game and then you're set for that season. So maybe something like that could be a medium between, because yeah, we all play Overwatch quite a bit, and 10 games isn't too much for us, but for the casual player playing 10 games, that could take a couple days, maybe, depending on the amount of time you have to play. I mean,
yeah,
each game is 20-30 minutes depending on how competitive it is. And yeah, but I mean, like you're saying, I think that number you gave, if you've played 50 competitive games last season and have given the option to knock 100 off your SR and start there. I like that.
Cool. So that's my idea for placements, because in the end, and I've said it kind of before, placements are only for players who are brand new to the system or who have been intentionally or unintentionally fluctuating or diminishing their SR. And like, I don't know, like for me, I'm like, I know about where I stand on placements. I also would like to, if they implemented something like you can't drop below your, where you placed here. So if you placed at 2,100, you just get placed at 2,000, you know, at the lowest. So you know, you're not going to go down to silver and have to grind out silver again. You're guaranteed gold. You hit that. Obviously there's, like, I say that and that sounds really good on paper. I think that there's a lot of ways where it's like, maybe I have no, honestly, right now as a player, I don't have any business playing in Masters, but I was 150 points away from Masters last season. And if I would have found the right duo rush to get me up into Masters, you know, like, well, now I'm placed at Masters every season, and I could get how that might fluctuate, or that might be too much inconsistency.
I think that they want there to be seasons. And if you kind of get away from placements, what's the point? Like, if you're still going to play where you ended last season, what was the point in necessarily ending the season? So I think that that's why they're sticking with this placement so hard. And I think that they're trying to figure out a way how to do this. That's why we've seen it change, where it used to be you would place higher than you were, and then you would fall back to the appropriate rank. And then now it's you place lower so that way you can climb. I think they're still trying to tweak this, but I don't think that we're, as much as I want there to be maybe like less placements, the need to not have to play placements, I think that they're probably going to stick with it, because then the argument comes, well, what's the point of even having four seasons if I'm just going to continue about where I left off last season? So I think that there does need to be some kind of reset between seasons. You see it in every game on WoW. World of Warcraft, you start from scratch. You start it, unless they've changed that. I don't know. I haven't played WoW in years, but you get 2,500, 2,800, and then the next season you start over and you have to regrind that. And that's just how it is, because they want the season ending to mean something. So WoW is a Blizzard game. Overwatch is a Blizzard game. I have a feeling they're going to try and stick to the same foundation in both regards, but hopefully we can see them change it to where at least it's better, because my roommates didn't even get to finish their placements last season because of how long it takes to put into placement games. And they just don't have the time. If you're not playing this video game for a living or putting most of your living towards it, it's a pain to put in that many games. So,
well, 10 games, the frustration is a meaningful percentage of the games you potentially get in, right? And so 10 games, let's say you get in 100 games a season, that's 10%. 100 games per season over, you know, a 12-week season, right? Yeah, 4 times 3-ish season is, oh man, I hate, why do I always try to do math on this show? We're not doing this math on this show, but it's
welcome
it's,
to it's a good, the it's mathematics like 10 games payload a week. Podcast.
It's
yeah,
it's 100 games, 12 weeks. So it's just shy of 10 games a week, which is actually a lot. It's a game or two a day. That's a half an hour to an hour every
it's
day.
More than a game a day.
Yeah. Like that's not realistic for everybody, I guess, if that makes sense. But at the same, and I'm with you, I think that there might be a way to make placements optional. Like I said, cool. You go to the bottom of the ranking that you were last season, whatever. And then you can skip placements. Cool. Great. Give some people that option. I think there might be a way there, but at the end of the day, it's not so much playing the placement games that sucks. It's the feeling you get after placements. I very rarely do I see people go, yes, I got this. Because again, I don't know of anyone that got really got placed higher. And even then, like the closest I got is like, whew, glad I don't have to grind out that much to get back to where I was last season. Like in my opinion, that doesn't sound like a working system. Anyways, that was a long discussion. I didn't expect it to go that long. But we also have this going on. The tickets for the Overwatch World Cup group stages in Sydney go on sale, pre-sale kind of, with some weird ass,
rules. I have so much to say about this.
Jimmy, give us the lowdown in this, the scoop on this.
Okay, so you think buying a ticket for an event should be straightforward. Well, they thought, no, let's make this as complicated as possible, as you have to enter basically a lottery and you earn more points by registering through your social media accounts and inviting your friends. This just screams some high level marketing executive thinking. This light bulb came off and they're like, oh, this is a great idea. We're going to get so much engagement on this. This is going to lead to just pissed off people.
So that's is this the ticket vendor they're going through?
I don't know. It sounds like Blizzard, because the .esports article says they reached out to Blizzard for more info about it. The other weird thing, why are they giving you only access to 3 tickets? I could understand 2. I could understand 4. What, you're going to like bring like your significant other and a plus one third wheel? like this just seems like an odd number. An odd number of tickets to be giving to people.
Math joke.
If we really want to speculate on this, don't ever do this for BlizzCon Blizzard. You will enrage hundreds of thousands of people.
Isn't it so easy to come out with bot accounts and stuff like that to increase your chances of winning a ticket? So it's just, you should never sell tickets.
Is it easier or more difficult than having bot accounts all slamming something at 6 p.m.? Pacific time when the things go live, like BlizzCon tickets,
Yeah.
No, that is very true.
This isn't even to get the tickets, it's to give you a chance to get the tickets that you still have to pay for.
Right. So, okay. So let's talk about this possible reasons why this might be. So, first of all, this is off the assumption that it's Blizzard, which is a big assumption. This just broke today. So before we go on and speculate any further and like blast Blizzard for this, keep in mind, we might find out tomorrow that it's StarTickets.com/esports that is doing this. And then, well, sure, it's a different company and whatever, but it doesn't feel very Blizzard. I know of a lot of companies because a very popular giveaway website is Gleam, right? And Gleam is essentially the same version of this. The more different website, or the more different social media accounts you follow, and you can subscribe, and then if you retweet, you can get like different entries into it. And it's to gain visibility for the giveaway, to help the company doing the giveaway get like a foundation for essentially get what they want from that giveaway, which is people interacting with their brand. But this is Blizzard we're talking about. This is 100 million accounts for World of Warcraft Blizzard that we're talking about here. It's not like they have to reach in and be like, oh, we need to make sure that we start building a database for Overwatch League. It doesn't really make sense to me. The only thing I can think of is they're trying to get a more active database for esports interested accounts. And that's kind of what they're doing. And even then, that's a far stretch, because all you have to do, Blizzard, is put something on my launcher and say, are you interested in Overwatch League? Are you interested in Destiny 2? Yeah, that's all you have to do, and I'm going to click it. You don't have to make me stand in line.
I read this article again. So the tickets actually do go on sale to the general public on June 20th. I guess this is just to get early bird tickets.
It's like a pre-sale thing. This is the only way to get tickets. Yes.
There we go.
it's still all doom and gloom, though.
It's still weird.
It's just like, why? Like, why? I wish they at least would have said, like, so that we can do this going forward. We've also, supplied a pre-sale thing. But, anyways, that's kind of weird. Any other thoughts on this? When do they go on sale?
20th. The pre-sale? General sale. 15th of June.
There it is. Cool. 15th of June and straightforward sale June 20th. And that's for the World Cup group stages in Australia, Sydney, Australia. So that's going on.
Let's go.
That was kind of esports news. Yeah, right? If Bluesboro wants to send me to cover the event, I will happily go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jimmy, we're going into Overwatch Esports. It's your week.
Overwatch Esports.
There it is. Awesome. All right. So we've got quite a bit going on. We had Overwatch Contenders weekend number one happen this weekend.
Which was a long weekend.
And TakeOver 2. So,
oh my goodness.
Are you guys like Overwatch Esported out right now? Because
I actually had so much fun. There were a lot of games, but I don't think I've ever enjoyed watching a tournament, let alone two tournaments in one weekend, as much as I did this weekend. The games and the quality of these games mm-hmm. were just so good. It's probably the most fun. And Apex is kind of hard to beat when your favorite team is playing in Apex, but I had more fun watching these two tournaments than I did watching Apex last season. So it was good.
Yeah, I actually had a birthday party for a friend that I went to on Saturday. I was thinking, oh crap, I'm going to miss a bunch of the Overwatch stuff. But he's a big Overwatch fan too. So we had it on in the living room the entire party. So it was a lot of fun. It was especially fun to watch with someone else who's really into Overwatch as well. And they actually listen to the podcast too, so it's kind of fun. So thanks, Joel. Happy birthday, Joel, again.
Happy birthday, Joel.
Yeah.
It
was really fun. It looked, the contenders looked really well, really good, just because the production value that you expect from Blizzard was there. The only thing that I could kind of take away as a constructive criticism of Overwatch Contenders is just about the Overwatch UI, which I know mm-hmm. that they're working on right now. The score is so tiny. It is so tiny to see how much time is left, what the score is on the current map. It's like, especially if you're watching on a TV in a living room, that information just isn't readily available or very obvious. Yeah. Especially for people who don't watch Overwatch normally, because at the party, there were people who don't watch Overwatch normally. So we were explaining what's going on there. And it was, it's just a lot to process at once. is the thing.
What did you guys think of all the third
I love
it. I liked
it. Loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I liked it. I just felt like because they were like debuting this third person angle in the tournament, I think that they might have done it a little too much. I think that they did a really good job of putting it in third person when they were resetting for fights or stuff like that. But also the replay highlight and thing that they incorporated. I think they did a really, really good job of figuring out the pace of the game and placing the highlights at the right time so you're not missing anything
in the
game.
Yeah,
you're,
like in between.
Yeah, because resets. It's like a fight happens. Everybody's resetting. You're jumping off the edge to reset, or you're body blocking a D.Va and then they reset. You have 6 to 10 seconds before the next fight instead of just watching a team like kind of set up on the point, which by now you kind of set up in the same way over and over again. You get this cool little highlight feature, or you get a really cool third person view of everything. So I really, really like it. And as to what Jimmy was saying of trying to explain it to everybody at the birthday party, Overwatch esports tournaments have come such a long way in being able to like see what's going on and understand what's going on that the UI will be fixed, no question about it, and it'll be better and it'll just keep getting better. So it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Something to note too is that they actually only had two spectators for this past weekend of Contenders. So they used the extra camera angles, the turret cams, a little bit more freely because you've only got two people swapping between all these different angles. Jamerson just got here in Denver today, I know. So I know the rest of the crew is getting in for Overwatch Contenders weekend too, which is EU coming this weekend. And they're going to have more spectators. There's a small chance I might be there for a good
chunk of this. They're broadcasting from Denver?
Yep, it's Carbon Entertainment, which is based in Denver.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so Carbon Entertainment is doing it. They did the Carbon series earlier on. And that was with ZP, Hexagrams, and Gilly Frost. Gil Frost, what's his? Anyways.
left guy.
Yeah, left guy. The guy with the iPad Pro and Apple Pencil. Oh
my
gosh.
Which actually was probably one of my favorite parts about the whole weekend was left guy. I'm not going to lie.
Did you, that was pretty funny. Yeah.
Did you guys see where they like, they paused, there was a team pause, and then he come back and he like gave a wink to the camera and was like, all right, I'm back now. Like, he just added,
that was good. That was good.
Such a good guy. Keep him on. Make sure you do whatever you can to keep left guy there.
Good old left guy. So anyways, so that'll probably change a little bit. I know they've got more spectators. And more camera angles, more what's the word? More commentators going. Jamerson's going to be there. I'm really excited for him to bring his energy to the tournament because if you've heard Jamerson cast, dude's got some pipes, man.
Yeah,
he's going to really bring it.
It's crazy how far he's come because I remember meeting him for the first time at a Heroes event at the start of 2016, and he was just doing Twitter updates for an org, and now he's casting Overwatch contenders. It's really cool to see. I mean, he casted CSGO for a while, and then obviously Overwatch with the Overwatch Agents Rising event, and now that's
Esports Arena.
I'm like super. Yeah. I'm just super excited for him to get more exposure.
Yeah, he crushes it. We're really happy for him. So Jamerson's going to be there. There's going to be a few others there. They've got a really all-star cast of commentators that's going to be there this weekend. But let's talk about the NA weekend for a second. So first and foremost, there were some really surprising teams that did really freaking well. Some not so surprising teams, but let's talk about a few. So first, we do have our top 16. Did I put our top 16 anywhere?
Yeah,
you got the link to the Liquid.
Perfect. Yeah. So, really quick, it's Cloud9, FaZe Clan, LG Evil, Kangarna, which we haven't heard much from them since they disbanded earlier,
they
right?
Just, and then they, oh yeah,
and then they reformed, and then FNRGFE. Whew. I made
say that three times fast.
Gosh, just pain in
I've
my
actually
butt.
Gotten so used to it from hearing it so many times over the weekend that it's just like FNRGFE.
Every time Doa said it on stream, I just started cracking up. It was great.
Funny story. Their logo is a corn dog with like a dog's head at the end, and FNRGFE.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a wiener dog's head.
Yeah, wiener dog. Yeah. And supposedly it wasn't professional enough. Same with Kelvin and the Chipmunks. And I guess some people at Blizzard actually made them more professional logos so that they had it for the matches.
That's so funny.
FNRGFE, you guys get paid. Renegades, Selfless Gaming, Yikes, Immortals, Toronto Esports, CLG, Hammers Esports, Tempo Storm, Envision Esports, and Team Liquid. So that's the 16 that we're going to see go into the group stages in just a few weeks. But there are some surprising ones here I wanted to hit on. Yeah. The first one was, let's just talk about FNRGFE first. So FNRGFE... is Enigma, Boink, Mooma, Bonnie, Buds, and Clockwork, which they should all sound relatively familiar.
Because they come from teams. Because they come from teams Fnatic, Team Energy, and then Team Gale Force Esports. So and this team is crazy. It was so fun watching them, and I was rooting for them through the entire weekend, even against teams like LG Evil, like other teams that I found myself rooting for FNRGFE just because of the makeup of this comp. I just wanted them to go as far as they could. I think it would be hilarious.
When
I first saw the roster, I was like, okay, that's a good roster. It seems kind of thrown together last minute. I wasn't sure how far they would go, but then that first game match that was on Overwatch Contenders, I think it was against Selfless.
And I don't remember the first match.
But they just crushed him in that first qualifier.
Like, I mean, they ended first.
Really good.
Yeah. When's the last time we heard something newsworthy from FaZe Clan? I mean, other than them rotating out their roster all of the time. Oh, I just started randomly talking about FaZe Clan. We were talking about FNRG.
Yeah, it's fine though. That's who FNRGFE lost to in the semifinals anyway. So it's a good segue.
So but yeah, no, back to FNRG. Yeah, they were just, it was super fun to watch them. I don't know why. I think because I have FaZe Clan up on my computer. I just randomly started talking about FaZe Clan. But the games for FNRG, FE, were so good. And it was really fun to watch FNRG against Kungarna because FNRG, I believe they have this like rivalry outside of games. So it was really cool to see that game. That was a really good game. So from this surprising roster that we didn't really think we were going to get a lot of good games off, they finished tied for third and fourth place in the entire series. So that's pretty cool. And I'm excited to see them going forward. But yeah, they did end up losing to FaZe Clan, which is another surprising team, I think. And FaZe Clan is actually made up of Rockus, Spree, Louie, Shadowburn, Joe Meister, and Factor Fiction. And when, like I was saying before, I realized we were talking about a completely different team. When is the last time we've heard anything newsworthy related about FaZe Clan?
Since
other
than
them making
left.
Roster
yeah.
changes. Yeah, exactly. Other than roster changes, when is the last time we heard anything great about FaZe Clan?
We haven't. Now, this is only like 50% of their current roster, right? And by the way, for those who are wondering why FNRG, it's former NRG and Gale Force Esports. FNRGFE. So that's why it's there. It's the former, and they beat NRG. So the former team beat NRG in the round of 32, 2-0, which, come on. Like,
yeah.
NRG has to be throwing so much money at their players, at least from what I know about their organization. And for them to get beat by all the people that they've cut has just like a, hey, let's do this as a contender thing.
It's
yeah,
so
let's
poetic.
Do it. It's kind of interesting, you know, whereas Cloud9 has been able to make some tough choices and make the changes for the better, like they did in TakeOver 2 this weekend. I think that they had a great showing. FNRG has not been able to do that by any means. Maybe they need to hire Bishop to coach. but FaZe Clan, yeah, it's just been a really interesting roster. I'm a little bit biased towards this roster because I've been a Spree fan for a long time, maybe because he plays such an awesome Zarya. And I love watching.
That's probably why.
You would gravitate towards those players.
Oh, okay. No more Overwatch puns here on the Payload Podcast. We're done here. I'm biased because I like Shadowburn. I love seeing the Genji plays on him. So
it's good. It's a good meta for Genjis right now. Yeah, so like Shadowburn played great. So who is it? We have Spree, Louie, Rockus, Jill Meister, Fact Fiction, and Shadowburn, which, you know, so like it says 50-50 on their roster of who's on it and who's not. And it was a really great kind of ad hoc roster. So they played really well, and they beat some tough teams. They beat Sensei Esports, Team Liquid, You Guys Get Paid, which was kind of one of the surprises over the last couple months for really, really high quality but kind of high B team, high B tier teams. And then they beat FNRGFE and LG Evil. So that's not easy.
Not a bad round of wins there.
That's not a bad round of wins. But can we talk about Kelvin in the Chipmunks for a second?
Of course we can.
So Kelvin in the Chipmunks is Seagull's team. And Seagull's team was like mostly like streamers or like pro players who stream a bit. So you've got Seagull. Ajax is obviously a pro player. Blam. Yeah. Nicholas TJO, obviously. Kelvin, who, you know, aimbot Kelvin on Twitch. Clone Man 16. And then they had substitutes with Kefri, Pure, and Flame. Who you may know from the Overview podcasts and other kind of, he makes some YouTube content too. And so, and they were this freaking close. So Kelvin and the Chipmunks on day two made it to the top six, the top eight. But because that eighth spot is reserved for Cloud9. So
Cloud9.
Only the top 15 teams actually go to the group stages. So Cloud9 is the 16th slot. There was a group of a group of tiebreaker matches to get there, and Kelvin and the Chipmunks could not overcome these games, unfortunately. And so they, let's see, I got to remember how it went. They, Kelvin and the Chipmunks lost to CLG 2-0 to go against Tempo Storm, lost to Tempo Storm 2-0. So Tempo Storm is in. And then Envision Esports beat Team Liquid, which did you guys hear the Reddit thread about the comms from that deciding fight?
No.
It is ridiculous. Whoever's point of view it was just like, if you ever watched those old WoW rating videos where they're like world mythic or whatever, and it's just a bunch of dudes screaming and yelling into microphones. That's what it was. It was awesome. So I definitely recommend to go check that out. But then, so Team Liquid played Kelvin and the Chipmunks and they got 2-0'd there. So, I mean, they lost, they went 0-6 over their last three matches. But for kind of a ragtag team of let's put it together a week or two in advance and let's go compete at a high level, they did a great job. They made it farther than NRG did. So, you know, when it comes to those types of things, it was pretty interesting overall.
Yeah, one thing that I do want to say about it was top 16, right? That's what it came out to be. Yeah, top 16 teams. One thing I do want to say about the placements and about where teams place, I don't necessarily believe that the seeding for the top 16 necessarily means these teams that are first, second, third, fourth, fifth place are better than the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th place teams.
Sure.
Because for these games, you only had to, or for these teams playing, they knew that they only had to win X amount of games and that there were going to be 16 top teams going. So I don't really think that a lot of these teams necessarily brought their A game for 100% of the matches. I think that some of these teams might have known, okay, well, we've already established that we have seeding in the top 16, so we don't necessarily have to try hard through these. We can bring our A game during the top 16, the semifinals, and everything past that. So I don't think that FaZe Clan, even though they finished number one seed in the top 16 of these teams, I don't necessarily think that they're going to beat the top teams that are in this. I think that it will be drastically different once we get into the next group stages. So I think it'll be really interesting to have a list of the seeding from the top 16 right now and to compare it to a list of where all these 16 teams end at the end. So I think it'll be really cool. And I think that teams will definitely move up and then other teams will fall in the standing. So I'm pretty excited to see where all the teams end up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Slightly related, but what are your guys' feelings on everyone's battle tag being put on Blizzard's page?
Dang, dude, that has to
I didn't even think about that. I was just looking at that the entire time, and that I didn't even think about that. That is a pretty big feels bad, man.
And it also goes straight to their like career page too, which is kind of interesting. It's tough, right? Like at the same time, all these people could easily sign up on an alt account or something like that. At least like these big teams, like the big players, they have the money and time for second accounts. So it's not like, oh, poor me. It's more for like the other non, you know, there was 700 teams signed up for NA. And yeah, it's just, it is kind of interesting to see them put the actual like battle tag number, which makes me think that they used this, they might have used this website for directing and getting the managers to each match as well so that they could add everyone and get everyone into the custom game.
Oh, yeah, like I'm sure.
But it's a difficult thing, right? So how do you do that? And at the same time, yeah, it's an interesting way to do it. So we'll have to see if they change that going forward or make it that only like one person from each team has access to the actual battle tag parts, or only if you're in the tournament do you have, you know, access to these battle tags, which seemingly shouldn't be too difficult to do. But yeah. We wanted to, so we do have Europe coming up and all the big European teams are going to be there. There's some interesting ones to keep an eye on. Ninjas with Attitude has like Half a Cool, Emil, Reels X, and IPN on their team. So make sure to keep an eye out on them. Keep an eye out on Bazooka Puppies.
Right? Their logo is amazing, by the way.
Right? So sick. That's got Rubicon on it and Kenzie and Meza, Oob and Clanton, among some other people that I don't know.
If you could win on just how awesome your logo is, like they'd be like top four at least.
Yeah, you had some pretty nice logos.
And then Slasher and Winghaven are going to be on Freedom Fighters. So Slasher is a commentator for Overwatch, plays at a high level, and also is a little bit of an internet celebrity. And an interesting one, this is kind of like, if you want another Kelvin and the Chipmunk story, check out Clickbait. That's got people like Valkia, Ryan Central, Queen, AlphaCast, Steak Bake. So YouTubers and players will be going up and playing, and they're all relatively decent at the game. So that's going to be going on there. There's so many teams though. There's almost 1,000 teams signed up.
Yeah.
So we normally like speculate, who do you think is going to win? We're not going to roll those dice. We did want to talk about, and I don't think it'll change from this week to next week. But we did want to talk a little bit about the high-end competitive meta this week, because with TakeOver 2 and Overwatch Contenders, there was such an awesome opportunity to grab a lot of information and stats. And because that these tournaments were first party and so highly supported by Blizzard, there was a lot of people watching, tracking stats, writing articles and stories about it. And we wanted to do that this week, but I think we just had a little bit too much fun with the rank discussion. So we're going
to
table
it's
hard
for us
to
not talk about that. Like,
yeah,
it's a fun topic to debate and discuss,
but we want to talk about it next week because there's a lot of really good information and we could do better, I think, as a podcast discussing a lot more of the, why is this hero good right now? What makes this hero good? What really gels with this hero? It's really easy to go, they have a Pharah, get a soldier 76. But when you start talking about, you know, why Lucio saw less playtime than before, and why Ana dropped from 80% usage down to 20% usage, it's a really fascinating conversation. And I think that you guys would really love to hear it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna table that to next week though, because I don't think that we're gonna have time for it. Surprise, surprise. We do, however, have a couple dev posts to run through really quick before we close out the show. So first, we do have changes coming to Mystery Heroes to get rid of quote-unquote suiciding to force a hero switch. Removing the assemble heroes wait time in Mystery Heroes because you can't do anything about it anyway. It's stupid to be there. And also, they're asking for feedback on a purely random system like the one currently, versus a mostly random system that attempts to randomize but have it not be totally unbalanced. So that was going on. Just as a heads up there, stay tuned. I bet we'll see something in the next patch or two. And then also, the Overwatch team is looking at increasing the penalty for leaving and going as far as banning people from playing competitive completely. And everybody said, I don't have the right.
Sweet.
Dang it. Oh, sweet, sweet sounder, John. So good. Yes. Do it. Do it, please. So that is going to be coming, and hopefully we're going to be seeing some changes to that soon. Blizzard does need to crack down on protecting the competitive nature of competitive play. Otherwise, Like, I've had people say, like, go ahead and report me. It doesn't matter. And we just saw this week with DeFran, right? So DeFran is he's one of the DPS players for Selfless Gaming and a dang awesome one at that. But he's known for being kind of trolly, kind of a, I don't want to say a jerk, but playing like a jerk.
Trolly and jerk are the friendly versions of it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But this last week, Rosh, what's been going on with like DeFran this last week? I know you've been eating this up.
Yeah, it's just because like this is a thing for me. And I've been saying for weeks that players with Overwatch aren't, it doesn't seem like they're being held accountable for the teams that they're playing with. Teams like C9 in League of Legends and in Counter-Strike, Go, all of these other teams, you hold your players to a certain level of respect and they don't do certain things because they're upholding the organization that they play for. I feel like with Overwatch, that hasn't happened. And just today, actually, a player for Selfless, his name's DeFran, is known for streaming and making his slick, you know, kind of toxic comments on stream. Well, and recently in a tournament, he actually just did some things in the tournament that were questionable. And then on his stream, he was doing things and streaming, you know, himself throwing games, not paying attention to competitive ranked, praising other people, his viewers, for throwing his games with him. And while it doesn't seem like that's a lot, like say he only gets 5 people to throw games with him because they're watching their favorite streamer, and if he's doing it, then I should do it too because he'll think that I'm cool and maybe we could be friends. Even if that only happens with 5 people, that per person, that's 5 other people that have to deal with them throwing that one game. So it adds up at the end of the week. And while for the longest, it didn't really seem like Blizzard was doing anything to address anything like this. For example, what DeFran was doing was public knowledge. It just didn't seem like they were really doing anything. It seems like they're finally stepping up and putting their foot down, and they're going to figure out ways to address this, which I'm all for, because I think if you play professionally for a organization, it doesn't matter if it's a small, medium, or big size organization, there should be standards to how it goes. And I think that that should apply to more people, not just professional players. With a team game, it really sucks to have someone trolling or throwing a match because they think it's funny, because I can almost guarantee that the other 5 people involved in that queued match, which we all know can last kind of a little while, it really sucks for the other 5 people. So I'm happy to see them putting their foot down, and hopefully they'll be able to figure out a better way to address this.
And keep in mind, because, I mean, there's a very big difference between trolling and throwing. And I think it's something like I've been in a few games even this week. I can probably go back to streaming clip the VODs of people who are like, report so-and-so for throwing because they're playing Widowmaker. Mm-hmm. Or they're playing Torbjorn on offense and it's not working. That's not throwing. That's trolling. And while I discourage it, it's also kind of fun, isn't it? Just a little bit. It's a little bit fun.
I don't like trolling, and I don't like throwing, so that's on you. I
come from like a very competitive environment where you could talk smack and troll and still like it still be like okay. It's one thing to say like, you know, call you expletives and make fun of things that you can't change about yourself or situation. It's another thing to just call you bad and make fun of your internet connection or something like that. You know, like, you know, things like that where it's, you know, where'd you get your internet connection? Dollar store?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's, so I have a feeling it's a little more extreme than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is, right? It is, right? Like, it's just,
no,
like,
it is. Yeah.
I'll be the first one to say I believe in wholesome gaming, but I also, I like to get a little unwholesome sometimes. I like to just be kind of trolly and have
but there's
fun.
A difference between going unwholesome and then praising people for throwing games and then calling them the Overwatch, the ISIS of Overwatch. Like, that's kind of a little bit different. And I think that that is completely fine with it. I think that that warrants a ban. Yeah. I think that that's a little
too far. Anytime somebody isn't like trying their absolute hardest in competitive and only playing the hero they have 200 hours in is like the best thing for the gaming community as a whole, from my perspective.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like this is a whole different level of, and it crosses the line between trolling and just throwing and ruining not just your teammates' time, but we've all been on the other side of a team that has a lever or a thrower, and it's not that fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that rewarding. I would rather win a 6v6
I say it on my stream all the time. When someone, like if I'm at that tier between Masters and Grandmasters and say it's that game, I'm 2 points away from a Grandmaster game or Grandmaster rank and the other team has the lever. I say it all the time on my stream. I don't like this. Like this is not fun for me. I legitimately feel bad for the other team. And you know that I legitimately feel bad if even though I'm 2 points away from Grandmaster and they get a thrower, that's a guaranteed GM game for me. It's still not fun. I feel bad. Realistically, yeah. I've been there. I've had to deal with teams with throwers. It's not worth it enough to feel good about you having a thrower.
Well, these players now have had more than a year of being able to test the waters, and they're all the way in the water at this point with trolling and throwing. And it's getting to a point where we have a toxic competitive ladder, which is not what you want. And that...
yeah.
And every time this comes up, people are like, only the levers should get SR losses. And, you know, there's so many reasons why they have to maintain the integrity of the system, regardless of individual performance. Because hypothetically, in a perfect world, it means that the levers and the throwers get weeded out of that system quickly. And you only have to deal with it a very small percentage of the time. But every 3-4 hour session, I probably deal with it once an hour, either on my team or on somebody else's team. There's somebody throwing or somebody who's left. And between that and like the toxicity that you're seeing, it's not creating a very healthy competitive environment where even CSGO now, they have a thing called Overwatch, not to be confused with the game that we're playing, but you know, a thing where basically it's like they're reported and somebody goes in and watches those matches.
Yeah, and watches it.
And it's like tribunal. Boom, yeah. you're out of there. Just like a bouncer. It's like DoorDash for bouncing that game. And I don't know the manpower it would need to make that happen, but I hope we don't have to get to that. Like, I hope that the system can mostly automate it. And Jeff Kaplan had a forum post a little bit more about it earlier today, saying it's partly systems based and it's partly user feedback based on how people are getting reprimanded, suspended, and banned. And they're looking for ways to like reward people who report more accurate reports and stuff like that by like, you know, if Jimmy's an MVP reporter, you know, like hall monitor style kid you want to punch in middle school kind of thing, you know.
Seriously, if you kick me off in game, I will go. Yeah. I will report you for every single little thing.
He teaches pets it a little bit, it means that they'll take his word a little bit more than, you know, the handsome, devilish looking jock. I'm just kidding.
Did we get a new co-host? I'm confused. Oh my god.
If you're a handsome looking really jock and would like to be the fourth co-host, anyways, of the email us at the Bailin Podcast.
All right.
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We're not even gonna finish this. We're not even gonna finish the sentence.
Nope.
Let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us for episode 70 of the Payload. If you have questions, comments, anything you'd like for us to discuss on or off the air, send us an email to thepayload@bluespro.com. We'd love to chat with you, get to know you more. Patreon! What's going on Patreon this week, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, we want to thank our grandmasters, Shadow, J.A., Coral, Liam, O, Stuart J., Liang, Z, Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you all for your support. And we do have our merch store. It is live. If you would like, check that out. Store.blizzpro.com gets you some t-shirts that you can purchase and adorn the payload logo as you walk around. And that would be awesome if you'd love to have our podcast
that dude must
on
be
your
good
clothing.
At Overwatch.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. If you want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. All the details on all our tiers are there. You can also join Fallen, who has become a patron this week. Thank you so much for your support, and we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, we've got lots of cool rewards. We've got Discord. We've got game nights coming up. It's going to be a blast. So we'd love for you to get involved with the community. Even if you're not a Patreon or a patron, you can still come join us in our Discord, discord.me/payloadpodcast. We're talking there all the time, having a good time. You can also see when any of us host goes live on Twitch right from the Discord as well. So it's a really fun time. I hope you come and join us. Rosh, what's going on in iTunes review?
iTunes reviews. Yeah, 5-star reviews help us a ton on a week-to-week basis. And if you'd like to show your support for the show, they're incredibly easy to leave. Thank you bunches to Bug Maniac Tyler and everyone else who's previously left one. What, you look like you had to say something.
No, I was going to say, is Bug Maniac Tyler, is that one of like the Pokemon trainers in Viridian Forest?
Something tells me it's not the same person, but...
All right, I don't need your sass, okay? Don't
anyway,
bully
thank
me,
you bunches. Thank you bunches, Bug Maniac Tyler, from wherever you got your name and whoever you are. We appreciate it. If you haven't done so or left one yet, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Woo, awesome. Okay, well, let's do shout outs for the week. Jimmy, shout outs for the week, and where can people find you?
Yeah, just follow me, twitter.com/DJTyrant, and same name at Twitch. That's where I post most of the stuff that I'm doing during the week, and check out my streams.
Awesome. Rosh, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter at F2K_OKItsRosh. You can also find me at twitch.tv/OKItsRosh. I'm starting a new stream challenge tomorrow. The last stream challenge we did was 29 days of streaming in a row. So I'll talk more about the stream challenge tomorrow on stream. I guess today on stream if you're watching the recording. But I will see
you
guys there.
Can you tell us what it is?
No, it's a surprise, John. I have to unveil it on the stream so that it's clickbait. Hello?
Oh.
You have to come see.
I'm also doing a stream challenge. It's whatever Rosh is doing plus one. So
okay.
So yeah, minus 40 viewers, but plus one. Anyways, as for me, you can find me twitch.tv/kicktripod. Katie's out of town this weekend. It's double XP weekend. I'm gonna play.
Oh yeah,
I wonder what John's gonna be doing this weekend.
No joke. You can go out into the kitchen right now. I've got frozen pizzas.
Oh my god.
I got the Tostinos scoops and the
Don't give that away. Make them sponsor us before you name drop like that.
Maybe I am sponsored. You never know.
Okay.
So I've got that. I've got just it's a total bachelor pad right now. If Katie, if you're listening, come home soon and help. I'm drowning. I don't know how I function as an adult.
John, blink twice if you're in trouble.
For the audio listeners, I didn't blink. Anyways, that's it. Twitch.tv and twitter.com/kicktripod. And yeah, well, I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for episode 70. Tune in next week, Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzpro. And make sure to mark it on your calendars June 18th, 6 p.m. Pacific time for our first patron game night. And again, don't forget those sweet, sweet iTunes reviews. Love you guys. See you next week. Bye.